You are listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, a Canadian guide to building dependable wealth. Join your hosts, Richard Canfield and Jason Lowe, as they unlock the secrets to creating financial peace of mind in an uncertain world. Discover the strategies and mindsets to a financial future that you can bank on.
Get our simple 7-step guide to becoming your own banker. It's easy. Head over to 7steps.ca and learn exactly the learning process required for you to implement this amazing strategy into your financial life. That's 7steps.ca. What exactly is the cash compound and who are the Banking Brothers? Well, we are joined by two amazing and incredible gentlemen. We have both Jonah and Jeremiah Du, who are the Banking Brothers. These guys are having a ton of fun on YouTube, sharing the amazing message of R. Nelson Nash. And Jason and myself were blessed to hear their method and their way of sharing that method in a really impactful format recently at our annual Infinite Banking Think Tank Conference. We are very excited and ecstatic to have both of these fine gentlemen with us here today. The brothers, the duo, the amazing team. And welcome to the show, guys. So excited to have you with us here today.
Thank you. Great to be here. Appreciate that.
In Canada. In South Carolina.
Well, it's your talk at Think Tank was incredible. And, you know, for the benefit of our listeners and our viewers, maybe walk us through. So what initially inspired you to embrace the infinite banking concept? What was that domino that tipped over for you both? Did it happen simultaneously? Did it occur at a different point in time for each of you? Share with us what was that domino that tipped over for you both?
Great. I'll probably start with this one. I was the one who originally was exposed to the idea from a mutual friend.
Okay.
And in South Carolina, where we live in the States here, Northwest Corner, we were involved with a network marketing club. And we had a mentorish friend in that environment who mentioned it to me first. And okay. He had no clue what it really was he had gotten himself into. He had started two policies from a mutual company through the guidance of who became our mentorship kind of community.
Okay.
And he told me, quote, "Hey, we're doing something with our money. I think it's called fractional banking, and we're making like 40% return," end quote. So that's what we got.
Boy, that sounds legit.
Correct. So I was like, wow, I'm in. Sounds great. And what he said was, "Hey, I don't understand what's happening. There's a book. If you can ask our friend mentor what's going on, I don't really get it. So maybe you can explain it to us." So that's kind of how it started. That was late 2015.
Okay.
And so I met a chiropractor. Several of us have met very similar professionals in this community, right? A chiropractor. I met a chiropractor who knew a chiropractor that we're all buddies with. But I met a chiropractor that knew that chiropractor. And I said, "Hey, man, I need to get the book." And so he pointed me toward Amazon, the fifth edition of BYOB.
Yep.
From Nelson, and got the book, read the book, and I said, "Oh, crap, I don't know what he just said in this book. I have no idea." So as we mentioned in Think Tank, I believe I said that in the New Testament scriptures, we've got one of the prophets going to find someone and saying, "Hey, I see you're reading the scroll of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what you're reading?" And that nobleman, right, of that time said, "No, how do I understand unless someone explains to me these prophecies?"
Right.
And Nelson says right there, it's an imagination prophecy. It's all in there, right? So I was like, I don't understand what is happening. So I got on a Zoom with another mentor.
Okay.
And then we were both exposed kind of at that time. So then it became a process where I called my brother and I said, "Hey, we got to figure this out for sure. You're smarter than me. You know numbers. You work at an insurance company. You used to work at the bank. So jump on the call with me and then you tell me what the crap he's saying. Because I read the book. So I'll tell him, if they ask us if we read the book, I'll say yes. But then you ask questions because I do not know what they're talking about." So that's kind of how it all started. Early 2016.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
And I'm sure some of our listeners can relate to similar stories, you know, where whether it was a spouse or a friend or a colleague that they had, you know, in sitting in on that first kind of initial meeting, asking similar questions. I think that's a really, it's a fascinating
part of your journey. And it's also, I think, so telling and similar probably to what many others feel as they're being exposed to. I heard a little tidbit of information, sounded a little bonkers, maybe a little out there, maybe a little crazy, something about becoming your own banker. And then I went over here and I started learning about it. And I went through this, you know, varying degrees of understanding as we went. So very interesting.
And this reminds me of now that the both of you have, you know, come this far in your journey and there's still plenty of runway in front of you both, you're going to continue to do incredible things. Nelson often said, the more that you see infinite banking concepts, the more that you will see you didn't see. And if you were to fast forward from 2015 to today, could you maybe just expand on that a little bit from your own vantage point?
Sure. I'll do this one. So it's funny that you asked this question. Back when we first got started with our first infinite banking policies, like Jeremiah mentioned, I actually had a background in banking, traditional banking, and then P&C insurance, which down here in the States is property and casualty. I'm sure you guys have it up there too.
Yeah.
And so looking over the document, the contract, the illustration, oh, I thought I knew a lot about what was going on. So we used to look at the illustrations together and look at the values going up, guaranteed values. And we used to just daydream about all this is, man, can you believe they're just giving these out? How did we lucked into this? Look at these numbers, thinking we knew something that we did not know. We also did not understand the reality of being a banker when we started. Had no idea. We got really, really, and again, could it have been told to us, explained? Sure. I think we got really excited, thought we knew something, and you know, threw everything else out of the window. Let's look at these illustrations. Let's take this cash value, you know, to the moon, Dogecoin, here we go, you know, that sort of thing. And we didn't understand the value of being a banker. We actually didn't learn and hone in on the taking of loans and repaying of loans for a long time, actually, in our
about journey. 4 years
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. Oh. Long, long, long time. I think I picked it up a little quicker, tried to explain, but it's funny. Sometimes when you're, especially when you work in the business together, you start policies together. As you start to pick up and learn things, you think the other person has been learning with you, right? We learned that, and it turned out, no, I learned that. I forgot to tell you, right?
yeah, what do you mean you're supposed to pay these back? You've been paying them back? Yeah, so, yeah.
It said policy loan, not policy loan repayment.
Right.
I thought it was just a one-way street.
Yep, that was me for 4 years before I knew it. I knew it, you know, conceptually, right? But knowing and understanding is different, right? So knowing might be up here in the head space and understanding might be in the heart. So I was not understanding for about 4 years of the ramifications of being an honest banker, not stealing Pete.
I'll tell you guys, my first experience in talking to Nelson after getting the banker out of our lives. So we had at that time, so this was back in our journey began in 2008, and 7 years into our journey, my wife Rebecca and I, we got rid of the conventional bank as it related to the mortgage on our principal residence. And you could get 40-year amortization schedules on mortgages in Canada back then. And when we got rid of the conventional bank, well, of course, we had a substantial policy loan balance. And in hindsight, now I may have done that a little bit differently. Like I wouldn't have utilized all of my loan amounts available to get rid of the conventional bank so quickly, because I ended up passing up some really high caliber opportunities because all of my, you know, loan balance was tied up in having gotten rid of the conventional bank. But I called Nelson and I said, Nelson, I'm so excited and I got the banker out of my life and this is so great. And he says, hang on a second, boy. and I said, oh, okay. He's going to teach me something. And he said, remind me again, how long was the repayment schedule on the original mortgage? I said, it was 40 years. And he said, you got rid of the banker 33 years ahead of schedule. Is that right? I said, yeah. He said, well, do you want to be an honest banker? I said, absolutely. He said, well, don't celebrate too quickly because you got a 33-year loan repayment schedule to finish.
Right.
You need to finish your original loan schedule. And that was such an impactful, powerful lesson for me, because it's one thing to hear when Nelson would share, hey, you've got to be an honest banker. But that was a coaching moment that I'll never forget. And any opportunity I have to pay that forward, I do, because most often colleagues who, you know, unfortunately didn't have the pleasure of getting to know Nelson the way that Richard and I did. And, you know, what a joy that was. And it was those special coaching moments where A, it made perfect sense. B, Nelson was brilliant at having you think about your thinking, not his. He wanted you to rethink your thinking. And in that moment, that's when my journey shifted, because I was very much the same way. I was like, oh, wow, okay, this is great. I'm just carrying this policy loan balance. Like, I got rid of the bank. Like, this is wonderful. Now I've got an extra $1,800+ every month that I can do something different with. And he said, no. You need to redirect that back into your family's money pool. And you need to do that for the next 33 years.
Yeah, that's powerful. And,
isn't that good?
Yeah. Well, you know, and one of our chiropractor friends that we all know and love down here, a guy named Brent, and we're all friends with him.
Yeah.
He used to show that in a presentation, and still does, in a presentation about continuing to pay yourself back, as he says. What he calls rule number 2 and rule number 3, he's kind of showing that in his slide that we kind of helped him create several years ago in our partnership with him. And I didn't get it for a long time. I was like, what does he mean by continuing to pay yourself? I was like, I don't understand. But this is coming from a conversation that was new to me, that was never about controlling the financing aspect in my life. I never had a conversation with anyone about being the banker. So I just didn't get it for a long time. And maybe I was kind of too apprehensive to kind of ask someone, hey, will you really sit down with me and help me to understand what's going on and what's the ramifications of me taking policy loans? So we were too busy learning things at that time. And Jonah was trying to help other people and read the fine print. And so I just didn't get it for a while.
I like how you position Jonah as the fine print guy a little bit there. He did get pretty really animated when he was talking about those illustrations a minute ago. So
he did. He really is. He perks up on when he's dealing with Canadians. He perks up. But I'm telling you, he's the fine print guy in our operation.
Well, no, we had a really unique upbringing in the infinite banking space. And so much so that I earned my bachelor's degree in infinite banking a little bit faster than the average person does. And because of that, and because of my personality and my background, I've read through lots of the documents and the contracts, and I kind of learned the process of banking by trial, by fire, as opposed to someone teaching it to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what we mean by that. That's all.
Well, and you know, I will say too, that when I heard you deliver the portion of your talk in Daytona when I was down there a couple years ago, and you did a presentation where you spoke to what if I'm uninsurable, that portion of Nelson's book. And again, for anyone who may be tuning in for the first time, the book that we're referring to is titled Becoming Your Own Banker. And you did a wonderful job walking through that example. It was a very clear indicator that you really grasped what Nelson was wanting to get across, which is that insurance, it looked a lot like it. You know, when it came time for him to, you know, transfer ownership of that policy to his daughter, wasn't that a lot like leaving behind a windfall of death benefit? Yep. But it was just a policy that where she was the life insured. And but credit to you for that. I hope that you're still delivering that example in that same fashion, because it was extremely well done.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. It's actually my favorite two pages of the book, right?
Yeah.
Is it 82, 92?
That's 82, 83,
84.
Yeah.
A couple pages.
There I think go. that section. Now, let me give you some props. I wasn't able to go to that event that you just referenced, Jason,
but I got the recording. So I wasn't speaking at that one. Jonah did. And you did a presentation. So I'm gonna tell you what changed when Jonah came home. He said, look, we had a weekend and there was people out there, best friends of ours, you know, the Brents and the Chris's of the world. Some of you guys know that. They've been on your shows before. They've been on our shows. Yeah. And they spoke in Florida. But the best presentation on infinite banking I ever heard. Boom. He gave me your link. Oh. And so we saw it 100%. I've seen it multiple times because that's what he came home talking about. He said, this is the best presentation I've ever seen. And so I've watched you deliver what you did down there in Florida at that event multiple times, shared it with people as well, because transitioning from the, let me get a policy to see if this works. That's how many people I think that you help and we help start thinking.
Yeah.
To here's how it permeates the entirety of our family banking system. Everything runs through these pools. This is how we share this message with teenagers, with the kids. This is how we do it on Sunday afternoon. Here's our 8x10 and Nelson. He comes to our meeting. Here's us in Mexico. All that type of stuff. Jonah was like, that's the presentation right there. Watch this one. So, yeah.
I'm humbled. Thank you.
Become your own banker and take back control over your financial life. Hey, is this even possible? You may be asking, can I even do this? Well, you better believe it. In fact, it's easy to get going. So easy that we've put together a free report, 7 Simple Steps to Becoming Your Own Banker. Download it right now. Go to 7steps.ca. That's 7steps.ca. Now let's get back to the episode.
It's interesting that you mentioned that that presentation that you're referencing is actually formulated a great deal of the book that we're launching in a couple of months here, releasing in June of 2024, which is Don't Spread the Wealth.
Yep.
It's how to leverage the family banking system to own all the gold, make the rules, and enjoy generational riches. So, and it's really following through on some of those stories that around, you know, what Jason has done with his own family around family banking meetings. You know, we've put together what I think is a pretty fantastic guide that'll be, you know, as part of the book when people get the book to be able to download, to show people, walk them through a guide with some examples and some suggestions on how to set up your agenda, how to think about your family banking meeting, how you should think about hosting it, what should be involved in hosting it, what are some exercises you can do with kids at different ages to incorporate them in the discussion. And so I suspect that you're referencing some of those things, but I'd love to really hear, you know, maybe from both of you is obviously, Jonah, you were there in attendance in person and you got to see and witness what was happening with the people boots on the ground that were a part of that live session and interacting. As you know, Jason's an interactive guy, tends to walk out of the camera frame a lot. Makes me want to walk up and kind of slap him across the face a few times. Anyway,
a different podcast, Richard.
That's a different podcast. I also have the same problem, but it used to be, I have to put tape. And before Jason's going to be on stage, I go and put like a big tape or a big sign on the floor and I take him there and I get him to focus his eyes right down. See this? This is your no-go zone behind the tape, Jason. You cannot cross the tape. You know, that's Jonah true. Was at the event. He got to see, you know, some of that interactivity. And so I'm curious, you know, what did you recognize in the people that were in attendance, Jonah? And then coming away, what were some of the core components that you really wanted to be able to discuss with your brother when you returned? I'm curious to hear your insights on that.
Yeah, I think that the way that the message is delivered is a humongous attribute to anyone who gets on stage and speaks, to be able to relate it to the everyday person, the regular attendee, right? Because we have a tendency, especially in the infinite banking space, if we're going to speak to other people who practice infinite banking, to talk at a level of like understanding. Well, I understand it and maybe you should too.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest takeaways from that speech that Jason gave was he spoke to the everyday person. And that for me was so big. So often because I like the information just like you guys do, I'm sure. So you listen to a podcast, you watch a YouTube video, you hear someone speak. And sometimes I personally feel like the information that is being delivered, okay, it's not really for me this time. I'm not there yet. Or I haven't accomplished the goal that I'm setting to accomplish currently. So I'll come back to this when it's time for me to do that. And that was not the case. It was very clear and concise. This is how banking should operate within your family. This is the game plan. This is the path. This is the roadmap. And here's practical examples of how we do it. And not braggadocious, not prideful. It was just, you guys can do it too. There's nothing special about what's happening besides we are actively and actually doing it. And so one of the reasons I came back and said, you've got to watch this. This was it. This literally, I remember, like, this is the best presentation I've seen by far. It's not close, was because it was attainable. We can do this. Mm-hmm. We can absolutely accomplish it. We might be in South Carolina. We might sometimes feel secluded, for those of you out here who might feel that. Well, I started an infinite banking policy, but no one else in my family did. Or my friends didn't, or they think that I'm weird now. And it was, no, there's real people doing it. Here's how they're getting it done. And it's attainable for us. We can make it happen. I think especially when you get to an event like that and you get to the break and then everyone wants to go around and start talking and everyone's talking about the one speaker, you're like, yeah, that, of course, that was it. You know what I mean? And so that was a lot of what happened at that particular event. And that was one of the reasons I came back and shared it with lots of folks and said, you've got to watch this one. This is, and it's funny, right? Cause they're like, how was your event? Did you speak? And you're like, watch this guy.
I made it through, but this is the one you needed to hear. This is the one that was worth the price of entry. But we've been able to glean off both of you guys. Richard, I'll give you some props as well. This year at the fellowship event of the Nelson Nash Institute that was near Vegas, you said 101 great things as MC. And then we have, as you guys know, but for our listeners, a monthly meeting of Nelson Nash practitioners. And this past one, as we're recording in April, the past one that I attended that Richard spoke at, he shared something and he shared all these slides and he said, hey, what if you had a real estate and rental portfolio? So many people out there who do what we do, they're in that space. They're investing through real estate. They're realizing gains that they can write off. They appreciate the idea of leveraging money and appreciating assets. And so lots of people listening to this are probably involved with that. Well, Richard said, here are some slides and let me show you about all these rental properties that have no maintenance. And they have appreciation and they have cash flow and you can pass them on to your next generation. And I am going nuts at screenshotting every single slide that he's doing during this time. I'm like, there's no way this man is escaping without me stealing all of this. This is Richard. This is like 3 weeks ago. No. And at the end of Richard saying this, and this is a testament to how you guys treat everything. Maybe down here, we are greedy. Down here with Uncle Joe, we're greedy, but Justin Trudeau, everybody's a little bit nicer. Because at the end of this, Richard says, oh, by the way, I'll share all these slides with everybody. And I'm like, oh, well, I've been here screenshotting everything. I was like, this is so good. So, yeah, Richard, appreciate you too, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, that those slides have been a big hit. And often when we do like a live, like a larger event where we have people, you know, in a large group, you know, 100, 200 people or whatever, I'll often kick off an event with that because I find it's great, like a level setting opportunity. And I think I would equate it to a little bit like what Nelson used to do. Nelson would start every presentation with, it's all about how you think. You see, it's all about how you think. Mm-hmm. You see, it's all about how you think. So he would do the same three words repeated, mm-hmm. but his emphasis would shift. And it would get you, it would be like a pause in the room and you could see people literally like, what is this guy talking about? But then some people were like, oh, you know? And so similarly, using that example of getting people to wrap their head around, you know, a certain amount of properties and then these properties transition at, you know, and using Nelson as the example, because it's true, it's real life. And property, people think property and our immediate brain pictures a house. It pictures a physical piece of real estate.
Yep.
But property exists in the way of contracts, and dividend paying whole life insurance contracts are contracts. They're property. They're still considered property. They're just not physical in nature. And so getting people to make that connection opens up the pathways of thought process
differently. It starts to make new synapses connecting differently than I think it does for people otherwise. And that's a great way to begin and start a day and then share and teach, because you're creating an openness to receive by giving a message like that.
That's so true. Man,
love it. Love it. Great stuff. So we are glad that I'll also say that appreciate you guys continuing his legacy. We're part of the Institute now as well. Happy that we snuck in somehow. All I'm doing is screenshotting stuff from you guys, stealing stuff from you guys. I'm like, man, they're gonna let us in. How'd we make it? But on top of that, the legacy of Nelson that we did not get to experience firsthand.
Yeah.
So we are learning it and feeling him and his presence and his guidance through guys like you who keep telling that story. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's an absolute privilege to be able to pass those things, those golden nuggets along. You know, there are so many people. That's what gave rise to the documentary and the whole project to begin with. And there is Mount Everest of footage that's being gradually and incrementally released on the YouTube channel that we captured over several days. And the whole essence of the project was to give people a deeper glimpse into the essence of Nelson, because there will be so many more people coming into this, you know, this wonderful business, embracing this concept. They want to teach it. And had we not completed that project, there would have been this wonderful vault of knowledge that would have passed away with Nelson. There would be a lot of stories being shared, of course, people sharing fond memories and you know, key teaching moments, but actually capturing him on film for a number of days consecutively. And he was a trooper. Like he was up crack of dawn and he would go for as long as we wanted to go each and every day. Because we told him, look, like we are going to be recording every moment that we're here with the exception of bathroom breaks. Like we're recording everything. And he's like, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. So yeah, it was a labor of gratitude. That's for sure.
That's awesome.
So what are you two guys up to nowadays? So walk us through. So what's current in your infinite banking journey in how you're educating the general public? And so what's bringing you energy around that right now?
I'll start. We do a lot of social media. Mm-hmm. And Joan will tell you some different stories, but we do a lot of social media. So there's a lot of production going on. And I'm in probably 2/3 of all the production. He's probably in a little bit less. So he deals in the numbers and he really runs our company, really is kind of like CEO. I'm doing a lot of top of the funnel type work. So I'm doing a lot more on, we're seeing a lot of people and within our communities of practitioners, big P, people who teach and preach this to the masses. We hear a lot about the misinformation, right? The misclassifications, as Nelson would say, as well about some other products out there or what infinite banking is and how what IBC can be used for or where it comes from. We're trying to tell that story well through social media. So we are on IG, TT, FB, YT. You know, we're on all these things like you guys are as well. And we're trying to tell this story. So I spend a lot of time.
Sounds like you have all the Grammys covered. Is that correct? Hey,
we're doing it. We're trying. Anyway, so I spend a lot of time there and talking to people who are right at the beginning of their journey of their awakening, right? That's what Nelson would have said. Their awakening of realizing that something else must be out there, and how do they get to it? And they're on their knees praying because there's problems in their family and their financial household. So that's what I do a lot of the time. And we have decided that a long time ago that we were going to share this message for folks who were beginners at finance. It was Finance 101 is the way we were going to share it. And the persona that we had in our mind, we've said this once before, here and there, is that if this is true and it works for everyone all over North America, there's no way that mom should be confused if she's exposed to it.
Right.
The problem is I read the book And I had been so underexposed to the terms, I didn't know what they were.
Right.
I said, we're going to have to break this down for what we always refer to colloquially inside our office, regular people. Like, how do regular people understand this?
Right.
And so I didn't take math. I didn't take any math after 11th grade in the States. So no business classes in college. I do have a bachelor's degree, but it was in communication and not in finance. So how do we talk to regular people about what's going on? Because we loved it once we were exposed. But we were like, we never heard these terms before. I was going to work harder to make things work. I was going to work harder. That's all I knew. And let's not even get started with real estate, because we didn't realize we were going to have all these pools of cash value to leverage for real estate. Everyone knew real estate. We didn't. I mean, we knew that we should know real estate. And we're like, we don't have a clue what to do. So we were, and we grew up in family environments that were communicative. We get along. And we graduated both from private school. But we're like, I mean, I don't know what they're talking about. So I was just going to work hard. So that is kind of how we take our approach to social media. So we're on those platforms doing a lot there. And we're also in the business now, somewhat reluctantly from time to time, of bringing on some new talent, some other coaches in our environment. So the Cash Compound has coaches. That's what we call our folks. Maybe you do as well. I think you do. And we're actually doing some training for the right people right now.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. You got to pay it forward. And you just never know the impact that you're going to have, whether it's on a teammate that you've brought on board or a prospect that is approaching it with a complete beginner's mindset. And you will have people connecting with you years from now who will share a testimony of how you were the domino that tipped over in their life. And that's where everything began for them. And that just comes with time, you know, going into where you guys are in your journey and all the runway that you have in front of you. You're going to impact an incalculable number of lives, and all that, as we all know, and all of our listeners and viewers know, the content that you created, it's going to be online in perpetuity. Like, it's just there. And that's what I've been sharing with my kids and my nieces and my nephews who are coming up in their journey with this concept, to not lose sight of the fact that that YouTube channel, some of the key videos that I've created a Google Doc and I just dropped the links in there, and the whole family is shared on that Google Doc. So it's like, they don't have to go on an archaeological dig to keep themselves reminded of the concept and the significance of it. There's very specific content that they can go and view. And so the reason I share that is, it's what we get into this content creation mode, and we're in continual production and getting things out there onto social media. But make sure you grab those gems and keep them for your family, so that they know exactly where to go and find it. And it's much like any business that has a really good playbook, standard operating procedures, call it whatever you want. The business has a really good playbook. And what Rich and I are doing with, you know, the whole notion of family banking is to give you your family's banking playbook. And that, it just lives online. Like, it's not something that, you know, you could have it in this format, but it just lives online. That's where all the kids spend their time and attention. And so go there, make sure that you're aware of where that content lives, and it'll be with every generation. And so it's what an incredible gift Nelson gave us.
It's really interesting that you share that, Jason, because, you know, thinking about some of the content that you guys do, and what I love about, again, circling back to your presentation that you did at the recent think tank, you shared wonderful clips, and some of those clips were not only were they absolutely hilarious. So you guys have a really good sense of implementing and utilizing humor to get people to connect and understand information, to bridge the gap of maybe making financial topics, which might be hard,
more digestible, more approachable, right? So that speaks directly to how you're getting to that marketplace that you want, that everyday citizen marketplace. You're utilizing your natural talents, your gifts, and your strategy to connect the dots in a way that is both natural, likable, and a high degree of communication. As a communications guy, it makes a lot of sense that that's how that's transpired for you. But, you know, you've had your kids involved in a lot of your content, you know, talking about the three jars, the three buckets, and getting them connected to, hey, being in the podcast studio, being in the recording zone. You know, I don't know if your studio is set up at home, so your kids can kind of just walk in. Obviously, there's a recording sign maybe on, so they don't do it when you're in the middle of something, but they get accustomed to seeing that type of activity and behavior. And so if I put myself in reference to my growing up, what I saw was, okay, I lived out on an acreage, 10 acres, surrounded by farms. So I had to build fences, mow lawns, deal with, you know, cows and sheep and a variety of animals. I had to move hay bales. You know, I had to do all these kind of associated activities. I rode a bus to school. We had a home business. The home business was very labor intensive. It involved trucking and moving pieces of equipment around. Trucks breaking down the side of the road. I've had multiple blown tires on trailers and on trucks in my youth while driving and doing all this
terrible.
Work.
This sounds terrible.
It does. Stop. It does sound terrible.
This is rough. We had Nickelodeon HBO. That's why we didn't have. That's why we didn't have conversations about money. I had new batteries in the remote, and so I was good. That's all I did. So
I'm glad that you had a remote. I literally just shared with my son yesterday, like, back in my day, we had, you know, I'm doing that back in my day thing. We're going to use aggressive air quotes in today. Yeah, you had to go and actually adjust things. We had the rabbit ears and all, you know, every once in a while, someone had to go up on the roof and turn the giant thing that was up there. And so explaining like what's happened in a 40 year period of time is really quite impressive when I think about trying to relate these experiences to my kid. And I think, wait a second, I was that kid once. What were the things that my dad used to tell me? So having that reference point across generations is very interesting. So now consider the content that you're creating. Consider the treasure trove of putting it in a documented place for your children to see, but then also recognize where the ones your children have already been involved. They're already integrated to it to some degree. So their learning capacity is automatically going to be higher just because of like proximity to a degree, right? And not only that, you're also showing and teaching them. So park infinite banking on the side for a second. You're teaching and you're showing them how to grow a business where they don't even have to leave the house. Yep. You're teaching and showing them how to create leverage by the utilization of content. What have you invested in? Well, you've capitalized on some technology. You've got, you know, soundproofing, some lights, you got microphones, you got cameras, you got a bunch of cables all over the place. You don't want anyone to trip on. You have a dedicated zone to operate the business. You know, like you're doing things in a way in the modern world, which we now almost take for granted because it's the way that we do business. But the reality is it's still quite new fundamentally from a grand perspective.
Yep.
And I think to a large degree, that's changing the game about what the future holds. And so your kids are growing up in an environment where they're seeing this take place. So their capacity to understand what might be possible, they haven't seen the other world though. So just understand perspective. When you've seen the world of work hard, you know, hammer, screwdriver, tools, driving, whatever those different jobs are, they're all wonderful, but there's a world of like very physical, engaged, active work that requires a location dependent lifestyle versus a location independent lifestyle. And so you may want to also consider giving them some context of here's how we go about doing things, but here's how a lot of other people go about doing things. If they can see and they can make that glue, it's like, oh, okay, how do I want my life to be? I can start to now picture and vision what I want to create of my own. And anyway, you're doing amazing content. What I want to highlight is the conversations that you're having with your own young children. First of all, I love them. They inspire me to have more conversations with my kids, which I'm already inspired to do, but you're giving me different ways of thinking, okay, how can I incorporate that example or that type of conversation with my own kids? I don't need to be in a silo figuring out on my own. I can grab a little bit about Jeremiah's doing over here. I can grab some of what Jason's doing over here. I can grab some of what, you know, Mike over here is doing, and I can try to put those pieces together and I can test and try what works for the Canfield family.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. And one of the things I was going to suggest to you guys is what I've started doing now that, you know, Jackson, my firstborn, is 15, and Charlotte, one of my twin daughters, who's launching her podcast, I have them sit in on meetings with me now. because I want them to hear what's being said, how it's being delivered, responses to questions that come up, and to just see that dialogue with whether it's an infinite banking concept conversation with an existing client or a prospective client, or whether it's a business development conversation. I just want to periodically expose them to those discussions, because you can really see that they grasp it and they start asking a lot of follow-up questions like, oh, why did you respond this way? And I didn't really understand that. Could you clarify that? Or, wow, that was a great meeting. And it sounds like, you know, the person wants to move forward and that's exciting. Like, it's not just about our family. It's like someone else now is going to be doing this, right? Yeah. Do they have kids too? Yeah. Are they going to be doing this too? Yeah. So it involved them. Knowing what I know now, I may have started that a little bit sooner.
That's really good. I really appreciate that. I think sometimes we even have a little bit of a hard time thinking through how to get the kids involved more, better, right? It's like we know what we know and we try, but I love what Rich said and you too, Jason, just take from other people what you're doing a little bit and what they're doing a little bit. You don't have to be the field expert here. You just need to leverage the resources that everyone is offering. So I love that. That's awesome.
Very true.
And it was a good reminder to talk about this 21st century style of business, right? Location independent and being able to do things remotely. I mean, back in our day, this would have been $2 a minute to talk to somebody without video in Edmonton. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would have been so expensive. Mom would have been in here with a belt at this point saying, look, this bill is about to be astronomical. You may
what are
not
you doing
talk
calling?
To these guys.
Why is Canada calling the house?
Correct. Do not pick that up, right? Yeah.
Guys, this was a lot of fun. Rich, you want to bring us home?
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate you guys both and, you know, keep it up. And I look forward to seeing future presentations from you guys at our Think Tank conference, as well as continued content that you're doing to help the everyday individual North American recognize the implementation of this process with and I especially appreciate the utilization of props. I love the prop aspect. And it's so funny. I got to show this. So Jason and I, we were watching one of your videos, or maybe it was after Think Tank. You were talking about, you know, using your jars and your buckets. And so we actually had props. We went to the dollar store and we bought these blue plastic buckets. And then we had these little green buckets and we labeled them general fund and cash value. And then we would have them and we'd place them all on these tables, like a round table. We'd have like a group of 60 or something people there. And then we would get like fake printed money, like kind of like Monopoly money. And we would go ahead and put the money in the general fund bucket. And then we'd say, okay, now we're going to take the policy loan. And there's so much in there. We'd pile up some in the cash value. Okay. And it's the next day. We're going to pile some more up. Oh, it's the next day. We're going to pile some more up. Okay. Now we're going to take a policy loan. Where is it coming from? Everybody hold up the bucket where the money's coming from. Right. And we would test everyone to kind of see where they're at. And some people would put up the cash value bucket. It's like, well, no, if we take that money out of there, how much is left? Nothing. So we put that back in. Where's the money coming from? It's coming from the general fund. And then the next day, what happens? More money goes into that cash value bucket. So we would use that prop example in group environments to get people. And so when the first time I saw you using jars on a video, I'm like, oh my God, it's like, that works so well. Why did we stop doing it?
I know we had toy cars. So yeah. When we would do these boot camp events, we ended up multiplying the buckets. And so each table would have their own general fund and cash value bucket and these little toy cars. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to go buy a car. And then they would take the little car, move it across the table. And then they would, but it worked so well that we stopped doing it. Like, my goodness. And you guys are going to go through that in your journey. You're going to look back and you're going to go, gosh, why did we stop doing that again? Like, it just works so good. We just stop doing it. Like, let's revive that and pick it up. It was such a great way to explain it because people, it was relatable. It was very tactile. Like you're watching, listening, touching. And so it worked really, really well, really well.
We love it. Plus if we're helping people down here on TikTok, they're not getting any smarter. So we got to show them something visual. Come on now.
I love that. Well, guys, we appreciate you being here so much. Now, our last question we'd like to ask, of course, before we tell everyone to check out the next video is, you know, considering where you're at in the journey and who you're helping, thinking to what you shared even to the group at the think tank here most recently about communities and who you are looking to serve. The question I would have for you both, and maybe Jonah, we'll start with you, is who do you most want to be a hero to?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is based on our last little bit of conversation here. I really think it's the kids, most importantly. So I've got three. My oldest is six, little boy, about to wrap up K-5. I've got a daughter, three-year-old, and my littlest guy just turned one just a few days ago. And for me, I was going to say a lot of what I do. It's really all of what I do. I want to be an example for the kids. I think that's such a big deal. They're so impressionable, especially right now at the age they are. Obviously, that continues for a little bit of time. But right now, they, based on what I've heard, I don't know, my oldest is six, but at some point they stop listening to you so much, right? And they start just going out on their own and acting with the information and the knowledge that you've given them, right? Making their own interpretation, sure, but their kind of baseline is the way that they've been brought up. And so for me, being an impactful father to them, teaching them what I believe to be true in the best way I can is what's most important. Like you mentioned, we put a lot of the kids in the videos, and they come around the office and help us do things and we teach them. But for me, it's the kids by far. And as a secondary answer, if I'm allowed to give one, it's those other folks out there who want to make an impression on their children, right? Mm-hmm. When I talk to someone on the phone or on a video call and they say, my kid, I want to do something for the kids. I want to create a legacy for the kids. I have kids I want need cars and kids that want to go to college. That's what really drives me. And I go, I get that. That's me too. Let's do it together, right? Let me help you. We can do this, you know? And so that's my biggest, my kids also are my biggest cheerleaders too. They love infinite banking. They love, my son, especially my six-year-old, loves money, loves numbers. He can't wait to come work for me, right? That's his thing. When I'm old enough to get a job, I'm coming to work for you. I'm like, well, you work for me right now, but you're not putting it together, so it's fine.
Right.
Oh, I love that.
He is the VP of one of Jonah's companies here, so he already gets paid, of course, down there. I don't know if you guys can do that in your country, but we pay our kids to do stuff. My kids are very good at jamming up the paper shredders, but they're a little better at the microphone, but yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I love it.
And anything to add for yourself, Jeremiah, as far as, you know, anything different or to extend on that is what comes up for you as far as who you'd like to be here.
Look, my brother said it really well. And to be honest, I think he knows this, but from time to time, I'm the oldest of our generation and we have other siblings and they're not involved in what we do at this point. Jason Lowe has set a great example. I'm sure the Canfields are doing the exact same thing, that it is a multi-generational deal. It is a full family retreat. But I'm trying to sneak in on that one now, too. I'm like, all right, how do I get down there? I'm going to get one of them T-shirts that they got at their annual meetings. I'm going to figure it out. But now you're writing a book. Oh, well, I guess it's OK if we copy it. They're going to give us a book. So we look forward to being the first people to read that. And I really have a burden to help the generation that we're still a part of. So a lot of people look, I say it like this from time to time when I'm asked, you know, hey, the banking bros, you know, you guys, you and your brothers, that's your real brother. You guys are doing a lot of great stuff. We love learning from you. And I'll be very honest. I hope one day he finds this. But I said, well, I don't have one brother. I have two, but you've only seen one brother in the video. So our job is not done because I've got more than one. I've got sisters as well. And they're not in the video. They're not doing it yet. So we still have ways to go.
It'll happen. It'll happen. And you guys, you know, credit to you both for being able to work together as family and to be as passionate as you are about this concept. We need many, many more just like you. So stay awesome. And to all of our viewers on the YouTubes, you just saw another video show up because we recommend it. And the reason we recommend it is because there's no such thing as having arrived in knowledge. There's always something new to learn. So be sure to click on the next video that we've recommended. Continue your journey of learning. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel and do yourself a favor and get connected with the Banking Bros. Follow what they're sharing online and you'll be that much better served in this space for it. So guys, stay awesome. This was great.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, where your wealth matters. Be sure to check out our social media channels for more great content. Hit subscribe on your favorite podcast player and be sure to rate the show. We definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to share this episode with someone you care about. Join us on the next episode where we continue to uncover the financial tools, strategies, and the mindsets that maximize your wealth.